This is a replay of the episode we did on John Bunyan and his book, The Pilgrim's Progress. We hope you enjoy. Welcome to the God's Peculiar People podcast, where we learn about the lives and characteristics of God's people. As I walked through the wilderness of this world, I lighted on a certain place where was a den. It laid me down in that place to sleep. And as I slept, I dreamed a dream. I dreamed, and behold, I saw a man clothed with rags, standing in a certain place, with his face from his own house, a book in his hand, and a great burden upon his back. I looked, and saw him open the book, and read therein. And as he read, he wept, and trembled. And not being able long to contain, he broke out with a lamentable cry, saying, "What shall I do?" John Bunyan, a penniless traveling tinker, would have been long forgotten to the world, but for one small factor, a book. The Pilgrim's Progress. We're going to look at a few interesting facts about Pilgrim's Progress in a minute, but first, let's take a look at John Bunyan and a few of the circumstances that prompted him to write the book. First, we should know that John Bunyan was born in 1628 in Bedfordshire, England. His ancestors had called Bedfordshire home since 1199. Bunyan wrote his autobiography, Grace Abounding, in which he tells about his upbringing, his military service, etc. I must admit that somehow I've never read his autobiography, but it is another book to add to my ever-growing stack of must-reads. John Bunyan did not begin life as a man we would consider a peculiar person, but a change took place in his life, and he began to preach in Bedford and the surrounding area. But the restoration of the monarchy in 1660 curtailed the freedom of men, especially those who were unlicensed to preach. Bunyan was one of those men. He was arrested and charged with holding a service not in conformity with those of the Church of England. He refused to give the judge an assurance that he would not repeat the offense, and he was imprisoned. He would remain in jail for the next 12 years, though at times it was a very loose imprisonment, others more strict. It is believed that during his first imprisonment, he would be imprisoned again for roughly 6 months. In 1677, he wrote his autobiography, Grace Abounding, and The Pilgrim's Progress. I'll try to find a list if I can and put it in the description of the different books that John Bunyan wrote. We know Pilgrim's Progress, but he actually wrote several other books and pamphlets that might be interesting to read. That was just a very quick overview of John Bunyan's life. We'll come back and talk about him again sometime in the future, but for now I want to talk about an article called 10 Things You Should Know About The Pilgrim's Progress. It was an article that came out on October 1st, 2019, and it was written by Leland Ryken. It was on crossway.org. So we're going to look at the 10 things and then talk a little bit about what they mention in the article. I'll try to make sure to leave a link to this article in the description. So the first thing is that The Pilgrim's Progress is one of the most famous books ever published. I remember reading a lot of books as a kid, and especially about people coming from England to the United States, or what would become the United States, the colonies at the time. And the books that they would bring with them were a family Bible and a copy of Pilgrim's Progress. It was very common for people to have that. And so it became a very widely published book, a book that was in many homes. And it's estimated that it has been translated into more than 200 languages, including 80 African languages alone, and it is ranked just behind the King James Version of the Bible as the most common and important book in evangelical Protestant households. The second fact is the book's title poses a small problem. The article says, whenever we name this book by its title, we are actually making a choice from existing options. The title by which most people know the book is Pilgrim's Progress. But the author called it The Pilgrim's Progress, and that makes a big difference. Changing the focus from a specific person, with the word pilgrim assuming the quality of a personal name, as with such characters as evangelists from the story, to every pilgrim, comparable to the phrase the Christian. In a further twist, the complete title of the published book was The Pilgrim's Progress, From This World to That Which Is to Come, Delivered Under the Similitude of a Dream. I think I pronounced similitude incorrectly there, but you get the idea. And so it had a very long name. But it's interesting that we refer to it just as Pilgrim's Progress, but it was actually The Pilgrim's Progress, telling the story of Pilgrim as he journeyed through from the City of Destruction to the Celestial City. The second fact is that the complete book consists of two separate stories. Most of us only know the story of Christian's journey from that City of Destruction to the Celestial City, and that book was published in 1678. However, there was a second book published about 6 years later, and it tells the story of the same exact journey, but it shows it from the aspect of Christian's wife, Christiana, and her four sons. The two books were published separately until about 1728, when they began being published as a combined book for the first time. Number four, we've already talked about this a little bit earlier, is that The Pilgrim's Progress was written while the author was in prison. He had 12 years in prison, and he chose to use that time very wisely to write this story. Number five, The Pilgrim's Progress is a paradoxical book. Again, I'm going to read their description to help us understand what they're meaning by that. And so it says, on the one hand, The Pilgrim's Progress is a work of the folk imagination. Through the years, it has been read primarily by common people. Through the centuries, it has been standard practice for parents to read the story to their children. The Pilgrim's Progress was written for edification, first of all, not as literary entertainment. Despite all this, The Pilgrim's Progress is a work of literary sophistication, eliciting the best efforts of literary scholars. It incorporates as many different genres as any literary masterpiece, and no literary classic invites more different approaches than this one. It is definitely one of those books where if you're wanting something spiritual, there are spiritual aspects in it. If you're looking for the allegorical, it has that. There's so much to the story that is very interesting. You can learn something from the story. It's definitely worth a read if you have not read Pilgrim's Progress. Number six, The Pilgrim's Progress is a triumph of storytelling technique. If you like Charles Dickens, it's very likely that you will enjoy reading The Pilgrim's Progress. Especially if you like the names that Dickens uses to describe his people. The names are so rich and descriptive. It's the same thing with Pilgrim's Progress. We have the people and the names of the places are very descriptive of the character of the person or the characteristic of the place, such as the Slough of Despond, the Hill of Difficulty. Those things just, they imprint in your mind. It's like, oh, I understand what that means just because of the name. And that's a very unique form of storytelling that John Bunyan uses in writing The Pilgrim's Progress. Number seven, the plot of Pilgrim's Progress has something for everyone. It's telling us that Pilgrim's Progress gives us three for the price of one. It's a travel story, a quest story, and a adventure story all in one, which I think is true. There's a lot to it. It can be a quest. It can be an adventure. I think there's also the aspect of just seeing how the Christian life works. So there is, it's interesting in all of those ways. Number eight, The Pilgrim's Progress is an allegory. Very common. We know that. Number nine, The Pilgrim's Progress has nearly always been printed as an illustrated book. That's an interesting fact I didn't realize. Most of its life, it has been a book that contains pictures to help illustrate the story. And number 10, the Bible is a continuous presence in The Pilgrim's Progress. Let me read what they say in the article. One reason for the popularity of The Pilgrim's Progress with evangelical readers through the ages is its rootedness in the Bible. But this trait makes it equally attractive to literary scholars. Victorian preacher Charles Spurgeon famously said that Bunyan is a living Bible. Prick him anywhere. His blood is Bibeline. The very essence of the Bible flows from him. Such is the testimony of the believing soul. So I highly recommend, if you have not read The Pilgrim's Progress, that you pick up a copy of it. There's some really good audio versions of the story that are out there. You can find them through like Christian book distributors, or might even be able to find them now as a audiobook through like Spotify, as like a podcast that you can listen to for free that way. Or I suggest checking out Adventures in the Odyssey. I believe they've done two different versions, maybe? I don't remember. I know there's at least one version of Pilgrim's Progress that they aired, and it does a really good job of condensing the story, but giving you all the highlights, all the main people that you need to know about. Great dramatization to it. If you're wanting all the sound effects in the background, it's very good that way, and I highly recommend it. Now, we're going to end the episode with the final portion of the book, The Pilgrim's Progress. And it says, now I saw in my dream that these two men went in at the gate, and lo, as they entered, they were transfigured, and they had raiment put on them that shone like gold. There was also that met them with harps and crowns and gave them to them, the harps to praise withal, and the crowns in token of honor. Then I heard in my dream that all the bells in the city rang again for joy, and that it was said unto them, Enter ye into the joy of your Lord. I also heard the men themselves, that they sang with a loud voice, saying, Blessing, and honor, and glory, and power, be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb for ever and ever. Now, just as the gates were opened to let in the men, I looked in after them, and behold, the city shone like the sun. The streets also were paved with gold, and in them walked many men, with crowns on their heads, palms in their hands, and golden harps to sing praise withal. There was also them that had wings, and they answered one another without intermission, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And after that they shut up the gates, which, when I had seen, I wished myself among them.